the press box. I heard the argument that they're trying to preserve the social environment with how it is now, but my argument is that there is no social environment there. We'd like to establish that social environment where people will both commute to and the people living in the area will have places to hang out and just like a more lively area to hang out in. Personally, I'd love to hang out in Goose Hollow after I get done working, but besides the tap room that I work at, there's nowhere to really go and hang out compared to other parts of the city that are close by, such as going up onto 23rd or hanging out in the Pearl. I think that the nicer MAX station will promote public transit a little bit more as well, so that people that are commuting want to stop there instead of going past an old rundown station with a building that's full of graffiti. Speaking of the Civic Building, which we've talked about a few times today, we have one of the only tap rooms in the area, and that came because of the Civic Building as well as the three food establishments and the retail shop that's there. Think of what awesome things could happen because of the press blocks. That's pretty much all I have to say.
All right. Thank you for your testimony, all three of you. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Next three, please.
Are Patty Gardner, Whitney Woods, and Tad Savinart.
Come on up.
Hi. Patricia Gardner, I'm going to make this really short. I am here to deliver a letter from Ben Kaiser, which I just gave to the recorder, so I won't waste your time reading it, but she'll hand it out to you and you can read it. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's Mr. Kaiser's attachment? Does he own property in the area?
He does not. He was on the design commission and is very, for many years, and he's also interested party to development in the central city.
Thank you, Patty.
Very good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Whitney Woods, and I'm submitting a letter on behalf of Adrian Hill, who's a resident of Southwest Kings Court. I'll do the same and give it to counsel for distribution instead
of reading
it. Very good.
And legal counsel, I want to make sure that we're not creating any problems here.
Adrian has written letters before, and so she's not adding anything else to it. So.
I just got two copies of the same letter, so. And so the question, I'm sorry, the question is.
So the record is closed, but we're still accepting testimony, and I want to make sure.
We can accept testimony from additional people. They just can't raise new evidence or new issues.
Very good.
So if Mr. Powell would like to see the letters, and he can confirm whether he agrees there. It's information already in the record.
So these are letters in the nature of testimony that are submitted for the record.
Correct.
And this letter from Mr. Kaiser seems to just track what we've already been discussing about the benefits of this project. So thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And sorry for all the technical stuff. I just don't want to end up in court. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Tad Savinar. I'm the Vice Chairman of the Design Commission. As you witnessed yesterday in these chambers with the discussion about the Ankeny L apartment project, it is clear that the city is changing. The city is much like an awkward adolescent that is trying to figure out just who they might grow into as an adult. And much like the parent of that teen who hopes that under all of that awkwardness there are values and ethics that are products of good parenting, we too, as citizens, hope that our city grows up with the same values that we as citizens currently hold dear. That is essentially what the Design Commission is challenged with pulling off in our hearings every couple of weeks. It is our charge within current zoning designations and guidelines to try to ensure that new buildings enhance what we currently hold dear and what is new that could improve the intangible DNA of what Portland is to become. And it is the decision of the Design Commission that the Press Blocks project fit that DNA. With our multiple reviews of the Press Blocks, the Commission was impressed with this project's ability to include places for culture, places for social intimacy, places for dining, attention to detail, and an exuberance of architecture which, when combined with the dynamic design for the expansion of Providence Park across the street, and what will come in planning for the redevelopment of the Lincoln High School site, that will evolve into the vision our planners have planned. Some facts. As you've heard, the project is 250 feet tall at its highest point, with an allowable height of 325. Two, the commissioners voted 6-0 in favor of this project. Three, there was agreed upon by the commission an exceptionally strong response to the following Central City guidelines. A8, contribute to a vibrant streetscape. B1, reinforce and enhance the pedestrian system. B4, provide stopping and viewing places. B5, make plazas, parks, and open spaces successful. C7, design corners that build active intersections. C9, develop flexible sidewalk-level spaces. C2, promote quality and permanence in development. And C5, design for coherency. Finally, this part of the Goose Hollow neighborhood that includes Lincoln and some of the new projects, the deluxe hotel, does have a very fascinating, intimate scale on a social level in terms of the uses and the services that go on there. And I think that the project really enhances that by developing a number of public open spaces that encourage people to enter them. This is not merely a building that comes down to the sidewalk. This has quite a bit of amenities surrounding the buildings that are very valuable to this neighborhood.
May I ask the commissioner two questions? He was kind enough to join us the other day and now today. So, and you do a lot of work in your official capacity, and then to come here and testify is a honor for us. So thank you.
Thanks.
Two questions. You know, the hearing we had, I think it was yesterday, was the culmination of a process where the council had four or five different hearings on a matter that came out of design review. And I think you were here when you heard some comments from the council that we want to avoid that in the future.
Absolutely.
We want to make sure that as much of the good work is done at the commission level. Why is this so starkly different from what we addressed yesterday? What was the key difference from your point of view? This is a public forum, but
yeah, right. I think I can speak pretty
candidly. Instead of cup half empty, cup half full, I would ask you.
The project that was before you yesterday, there were infinitesimal, incremental, if that, changes from hearing to hearing. Our message was completely consistent from the first time we heard that project all the way through the process. The applicant just didn't move. They did move a little bit when you went into mediation. This project that we're reviewing today, the Press Blocks, was extremely receptive to a working relationship in meeting the guidelines with the commission on multiple cases, and really heard what we were saying and understood what we were saying and altered their designs to fit the guidelines.
So that's very encouraging. And my second question, sir, is some of the guidelines that you've identified seem to me to be more of a sort of objective nature or closer to an objective nature, but some are more on the subjective end of the spectrum. And since Mr. Powell in his testimony kind of got at this subjective question about faithfulness to neighborhood character and how you define character, I'm curious, as you looked at this project, how did you reconcile this proposal with the surrounding neighborhood character?
As I said in my last comment, this is a really interesting little part of town, and especially when it's noon or 8:30 and the drop-off or the noon, the lunch hour, and then after school, there's athletes, there's parents. It can be active. And it's with a kind of a anthill or beehive kind of activity. It kind of is all over the place. And what's fascinating to me is that this project actually designed that opportunity for that kind of activity within the grounds of its property. So the open areas, the maker spaces, the non-vehicle access, all of that is I think, really trying to encourage and enhance the activity that's already there. So that's why I think it's outstanding.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the last two I show are David Wark and Scott Langley.
David, why don't you start? Good afternoon.
David Wark, Design Commissioner, ex-chair of the Design Commission, as I transition away from my responsibilities. But I felt it important to come today to support what has been stated, a unanimous, enthusiastically approved project by Design Commission. And why was that? Well, I think it accomplishes or meets the guidelines in three significant ways. And I'll just kind of go through those three. In terms of context and massing, it's basically a new and clear template for developments to follow in Goose Hollow, with this three-part composition of a 250-foot tower. As Tad mentioned, it's 75 feet lower than is allowed, combined with its 55-foot tall sidekick building, and three, its publicly accessible alley. The result of this massing is that over half of the block's perimeter is defined by open space and the 55-foot tall building. So it gives a lot of real estate and concentrates it in the tower, which is still under the allowable height. In terms of public realm, it not only easily meets the guidelines for active storefront along established streets, it also provides that open space and plaza at the southwest corner and the alley through the middle of the block. And then in terms of quality and permanence, it's rare to see a design concept that is so clear, and also one that's derived from the immediate context, which we felt really embraced the Portland personality and also embraced the area at the street level. And so in the end, with materials and the quality of those, brick stone, glass canopies, precast concrete, and high-quality storefronts impart a sense of permanence to the building and the project. And so as a result, as I said, it was a 6-0 vote. And I'll just close by saying, in my 9 years as a commissioner, reviewing hundreds of projects, the press block stands out as one of the most distinctive and memorable.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Scott Langley, 1211 Southwest 5th Avenue, Suite 2230. I grew up in the Goose Hollow area, went to high school in the Goose Hollow area. I own property in the Goose Hollow area. We have a project under construction right now at 1501 Taylor. We have another project at 1500 Taylor that's been approved by design review. We're ready to break ground. I sit on the board of Urban Renaissance Group, one of the developers of the press blocks. I've sat through all the owner, architect, contractor meetings. I've sat through all the design review meetings. I thought the design commission did an excellent job. And as Mr. Savinar said, this project is really in play to help Goose Hollow come out of the backwater and grow. In that regard, I'd also like to say that I think that this project in activating the street in Goose Hollow is also going to, from a taxpayer standpoint, help enhance the value of the investment that the city has in the stadium. And I think that's a big play. And we know that the Timbers are behind this project as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Is that all of the folks who would like to speak in opposition to the appeal?
That's all who signed up.
Very good. If he so chooses, Jerry has an opportunity to rebut for 5 minutes. Welcome back.
Mr. Mayor, commissioners, not so much a rebuttal as a reinforcement. The single thing that we're really objecting to is the mass of that slab-sided building. Yeah, the idea of a folded newspaper is something that probably no one will recognize in 10 years. A folded newspaper, really? It's like designing a building after a dial telephone. And that itself is not so much of a problem, except that if you start into a project with a vision in mind, that design concept is going to come through, then you blind yourself to alternatives that make take you away from that design concept. The neighborhood put a great deal of thought into taking this position, and we took it not at all lightly, in spite of the fact that everyone else seems to be on vacation here. The idea that this project contributes to the neighborhood is not only valid, we wholly subscribe to the idea that this is a good project. We would like it a little bit better. We think the Design Commission has the capability of doing that. We would like to see you send it to them to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Very good. That brings us to council discussion. And Commissioner Fritz?
Could I ask staff to come back up, please?
Please.
So one of the pieces that I think really is important in this design is the plaza, and it's going to be private, right? The public will be allowed into it, but the business owners, the residents, will control what happens in there. Is that correct?
There's two sides, both edges of the plaza have private space, that is interior space. In one case, the tower side has live-work units, two-level live-work units. They have area that is dedicated primarily to spilling out of that space into the edge of the pass-through. Same with the other side. The small brick building has a similar condition. There is a permanent pass-through, if you will, that's not gated. The plans show no gates, so show no direct express privatization means, nor any sort of implied privatization. It's pass-through all the way. So that's where we stand.
So, and that's what I read. I also see that we did, the Design Commission did allow some adjustments on window and ground floor activity that's less than the standard. So what I'm concerned about is it gets built, it seems like a lovely project, and then the people who live and work there, own there, might decide that they don't want to have the Timbers Army or anybody else coming through their space. Do we need to put a condition of approval on that, that it would have a public easement?
Mr. Heron?
I don't know that we can do a condition of approval for a public easement, but I think if the applicant were, say, to propose a condition that space would remain ungated, I think might satisfy where you're going, Commissioner. And just also to clarify clearly, the modifications that's requested of this, it had to do with ground floor windows, does not apply towards this PED activated space. It's actually for the half block office building, and that was a function of making loading fit.
Yeah,
in that
spot. I understood that. It's just that I think this piece is part of what makes this project particularly special. And I would, I've been in the situation where in a subdivision, everybody thought that the trail was going to be public, and then it's not.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if the applicants can help me out with this particular concern. And I see that the attorneys are huddling even as we speak.
So it's been brought to my attention that the issue of public accessibility or continued public accessibility was not an issue that was raised below at the Design Commission, so it's not something that's been discussed.
But it is in their application. This is going to be public.
It is in their application. The challenge is that...
And they just gave us all these nice pictures showing the great public use of it.
I guess part of it is we'd have to be determining what approval criteria that relates to as opposed to simply our desire to have it.
Well, as I was suggesting, I think it's to do with the modifications, albeit on different parts of the project, but it seems to me that that's a little bit of payback. could it be not a condition of approval, but as part of the property owner's something's covenants that...
Can I ask a question on this? Because this is new for me. I mean, I want to be careful about not setting a precedent here. This is property that they're not required to have this particular walkway, correct?
No.
And so they have done so as an amenity. It's privately owned, and therefore the city has no obligation to maintain it, correct?
Correct.
And now the question is, since they have, in effect, chosen not to develop the full site and have created this right of way, I want to be cautious here that we do not, in effect, punish an applicant for doing something they're not required to do, over which we have no responsibility, by imposing a condition to in effect, in the future, discourage someone from doing this. And so my bar will be very high in terms of setting a condition. And I guess, in addition, I haven't heard anyone say that there was, in fact, an adjustment that is related to this right-of-way.
Well,
it's correct.
Yeah, well, I want to ask staff that question.
Right.
Is there an adjustment that was made that is directly related to this right-of-way?
No. It's worth mentioning that in the record clearly has been a discussion between commission and applicant throughout the course of the project in refining the width of the pass-through space. At the first land use review hearing, it was determined that pass-through was a little too narrow, that it didn't feel as inviting as it could otherwise. So for the second review land use review hearing, that was opened up some to, in part, encourage that public perception that the public is welcome in this space.
And there is the design guideline B5, make plazas, parks, and open space successful. And in the analysis, it talks about orienting the building elements, such as entryways, lobbies, windows, and balconies, to face public parks, plazas, and open spaces. So it is discussed throughout the application.
Yeah, the design is proposed, I think, not only for B5, but B1 as well, which is just simply reinforcing and enhancing the pedestrian system, which was one of the assertions by the appellant not being met. So I think, again, the refinement through the course of review on the record was clear in the final findings and approval that continuity, that connectivity for public access be maintained, and the applicant respond willingly to design it accordingly.
Yeah, because so, yeah. I mean, I think it's part of being the whole application being the whole project being welcoming, and absent that, if it wasn't there and it was just as has been objected to in the appeal, the 200 by 250
right.
wall with no mitigation for that. So can you help me out here?
Yeah, I'll take a shot at it. A lot of
your name in the record again.
Excuse me, Tim Herron, Bureau of Development Services. Part of the design that precipitated, I think, during the process of the commission not considering a condition or a non-gated condition, I think was how thoroughly programmed the design was. So that is notwithstanding if changes in the area or whatever make that a attractive nuisance. The applicant probably wanted to keep their rights without outside of the level of a Type 3 condition of approval requirement to change it vis-a-vis no fencing. The other aspect of it is alterations in this area are subject to design review. It may not be a Type 3 design review. It may indeed trigger a Type 2 design review process, in which case we have the evidence of the Type 3 process and a very thorough conversation about public access and openness.
Right.
That could become a part of a conversation if additional alterations want to be done to that space, such as enclosing and so on. So I think in an effort, and not trying to kick the can down the road, but my point is alterations in the future are still going to be subject to review. That could be an opportunity in hearing testimony today, both from you, Commissioner, but also, frankly, from the Design Commission through the entire process, that this is intended to be a publicly open and activated space. And
okay.
So future changes would...
That makes me feel
would
much
have
more
that
comfortable.
In mind.
So if it were suddenly appeared to be gated, somebody could then object and it would have to go through a
potentially,
review.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. That did help, Mr. Herron. Thank you very much. So with
I appreciate that conversation. That because it's a it falls into a gray area. If we had given someone a bonus for a public plaza, that's a clear one. But in a case like this, where we are encouraging developers to create these kinds of human scaled amenities like walkways, I want to make sure that we're finding the right balance between creating that incentive and not punishing someone for doing it. And I don't know where that line is, but I think Commissioner Fritz has established to my satisfaction that the record was made here about the benefit of this open space. And if it is to change in a substantial way, someone could come back and raise a concern.
Very good. Colleagues, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve the proposal.
Second.
There's a motion, Commissioner Fish, a second, Commissioner Fritz. Any further discussion, colleagues?
This is tentative. And I want to be,
yes, I have to say this for the record. This is a tentative vote, and we will come back for the final vote on.
How much time do you think we need for this?
I'd say it. What do we have in terms of a 120-day clock? Mid-September. Okay, so if we could, at least 3 weeks, just because we've had two other appeals that we have findings reviewing. But this one should be probably simpler.
Okay. The first week in September, that'd be okay?
August 31st. Can we do it with the L?
Yeah, I think that's fine if we want to do that.
Yep, so 3:05 on August 31st.
All right, good. So we have a motion on the table to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve the appeal. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fritz? Well, thank you. This has been a very constructive hearing. Thanks, Jerry Powell, for your usual thorough examination and bringing these issues to light. I do think it's important that we do things mindfully. And thank you to the design commissioners who came and explained, and also, of course, to staff and to the applicant for what looks like a very exciting project. Thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
Well, this area is changing quite dramatically. And last weekend, my wife and I went to the iconic restaurant that Bud Clark started 50 years ago, which is the Goose Hollow Inn, which is now surrounded by new development that is changing the scale and in some ways the character of the Goose Hollow neighborhood, but I think for the better, and is pointing us towards meeting a lot of very important goals around density and urban vitality. I want to start by thanking Mr. Powell for his presentation. I think at some point he referred to himself as a sacrificial lamb. He put forth his position clearly and succinctly, and while he seemed to be a little outnumbered in the room, our process allows for a single person or a neighborhood to come forward and make a record and raise concerns, and we appreciate the time he took to do that. I want to do a shout-out to the Design Review Commission. We have a lot of really wonderful people who give a lot of time to serve. And the anomaly is when we get an appeal and then we have to have multiple hearings. The typical case is one like this, where the applicant spends the time with the commission trying to improve the product, working within our guidelines. And we're just very fortunate to have people who volunteer their service to help us get it right. To the two commissioners who are with us here today, thank you very much. It is not material to my decision, but I will say that in reviewing the materials that we got today and the pictures, this is, I think, just a spectacularly beautiful development. And I, as a resident of the city, appreciate the fact that there are developers willing to go the extra step to bring quality design and materials to these kinds of developments. And clearly, this is built for the long term and will be a long-term asset, I think, to this neighborhood. I am reminded they are replacing three egregious eyesores. And while I regret what the replacement of those buildings means to the future of the printed newspaper, I also appreciate that we are, as a city, growing up, and the area between the stadium and 405 is gonna see a lot of change. And I hope this sets a standard for design and context going forward. I'm very enthusiastic about this project, and I'm very pleased today to vote aye.
Wheeler.
I am very much convinced that the Design Review Commission got this right. A very compelling case was made that this project meets or exceeds the guidelines, and I think it lays down a very solid foundation for the future in terms of the kind of development that we would like to see in this particular area. And again, this isn't something that was just decided. This continues a planning process that was started a long, long time ago. So I absolutely support the motion. The appeal is denied. This is a tentative vote. The final vote will be on August 31st at 3:05 p.m. in this chamber. So this issue is resolved. Colleagues, I would like us to take a couple of minute break, if we could. We have one more item.
I think Dan pulled that back.
Yeah, but don't we have to read it and then pull it back?
Well, I can just read it and then...
Well, let's do it. Let's go ahead and read it and get it done.